Google and Facebook and some other big tech Silicon Valley giants have announced that they are returning to the offices early. They are pushing back on the idea of indefinite remote work, and that obviously has big consequences. Many companies are following suit, and the question is, what is right for your business? What are the questions that you should be asking yourselves when this pandemic is over, or when you are wondering whether you should bring people back into the offices, whether you should let them work from home or from co-working spaces, and most importantly, who should be making these decisions? That's what we're going to talk about in this episode. Stay tuned. What's up, you management critics, you radical thinkers, you rebels, whatever you call yourself. Good to have you back after the Easter break, even though that's already more than a week behind us, I suppose. But I'm glad you are here, and there's big news. Because Google wants their workers to return to the office ahead of schedule. That was announced on the 31st of March 2021, literally the day the last episode of this show was released. And I think this might have some serious impact, because Google obviously is seen as a role model for many businesses, at least those who refer to themselves as modern or progressive or whatever label you might attribute to Google. So we are going to look at this story, and we're going to look at what other big players are doing in regards to workplace arrangements and remote work and all this stuff. And I'm going to share my personal view on this whole debate with you, because I think there is some really important considerations to be made here. And I think a lot of leaders currently are challenged with these decisions. Like, where should our people work from when this whole pandemic comes to an end? But before we get there, I want to share some words of gratitude with you guys. As you know, we took a break over Easter. That's why we were away last week. And well, to be honest with you, I didn't really take that much of a break. I've got so many exciting projects to work on at the moment, guys. I don't really want to switch off. As long as I get my sleep and some time with my family and with my friends as much as COVID allows it, and as long as I get my exercise in and these kind of things, life is good. Anyway, I was at Easter. So over Easter, we took a break, and we've been looking at the data a little, and we've been looking at the interactions on social media, and we've looked at the messages we've received from you guys. And I just wanted to say a huge thank you for your support of this show in these early days, because we still are in our early days. It's only been a few weeks that this show has been online. And it's really great to see that this show seems to be doing what it's meant to be doing, which is that you guys are forwarding these videos, you are starting debates within your companies, you are challenging the procedures in your businesses. And not only that, also, probably most importantly, you are challenging me, which is great, because the whole point of this exercise is not to replace one dogma for another one. And I try not to deliver a dogma, I try to deliver some tools for critical thinking. But however, that might be misunderstood, and therefore I'm very grateful that some of you have come back with some critical thoughts on what I've been publishing. And that excites me, because it shows that this show is about applying rigorous logic, about abandoning ideology in favor of critical thinking, and that we challenge the management practices that we are conducting on a daily basis. So just a big thank you for that. That needed to get out of me. And now let's get to the story. So remote work. It's been an exciting time for all of us, right? It's been challenging. It's been changing for some businesses. It's been changing everything they do. For ourselves, it's been changing a lot of what we do. A year ago, when this whole pandemic started, we had to cancel all of our on-site work. Obviously, we had to reinvent the entire academy. We had to change the way we conduct consultancy work. So there was quite a significant change to the way we deliver our services. On the other hand, to be honest with you, that going remotely wasn't really a challenge, because we've always been working remotely. That's what basically for the entire existence of this company, we are all used to working from not necessarily home, but from all sorts of places. Some of us are have turned into digital nomads, so it's not been such a big challenge in that respect. And at the same time, I've been conducting pretty much all of my work literally from this space here, which is my office / studio / home, obviously. And I personally, I found it delightful, but it's not for everyone. And I know that. And, you know, some of you are dying to get back into the offices to see some colleagues. Some of you are just sick and tired of being sat between toys on uncomfortable sofas with their laptops, literally on their laps, with hamstrings being tight because you can't move. That is bothering some of us. And some of you are, you know, are really excited to get back into a larger group of people and to be sat on some professional office equipment. It is ridiculous, the times we're going through, but it leads me to a question that I know is on many executives' minds right now, which is, where should people be working from in the future? And should we be the ones making these decisions for them, or should they be making these decisions themselves? You know, what's the right strategy? Does this right strategy even exist? Does it have to evolve over time? And what questions can I ask myself as a leader that will help me assess the situation and make better decisions for my company? And understandably, this is a big one because it will have consequences. And that's why I want to have a look at what some of the big role models are doing, like Google. And I want to apply some critical thinking to this whole question, as we always do in the show. And let's start with Google. So Google announced on March 31st, as I said, that they are going to do three things. A, they are going to accelerate the return to the office and perform a partial reopening in April, so this month. B, they're going to reject the idea of indefinite remote work, which is quite a big one, I think. And C, they're going to force employees to formally apply for remote work if they want to do so, so if the employees want to do so, for more than 14 days a year. And this was announced across multiple outlets, as you can imagine, whenever Google has something to say. And for example, it was announced in this article on CNBC. And according to CNBC, workers are also expected to live within commuting distance of a Google office. And Google is apparently also considering that it may adjust employees' salaries based on where they work from. So that is, to me, that's quite big. And Google is not an outlier with this. According to this article here on Forbes, Amazon is investing in a second headquarter in preparation for employees returning from their home offices. And like Facebook, another one in the list, they are pursuing what is now being referred to as the hybrid model. Now, of course, Amazon has grown throughout the pandemic, so they will need more space anyway. And at the same time, preparing for the return to the office is a statement in itself. And if you look at the current issue of the Harvard Business Review, you will see that the hybrid model is the thing. You know, everyone seems to be talking about the hybrid model at the moment. So there seems to be a little bit of a pushback on the whole remote work euphoria that we saw at the beginning of the pandemic, when there were these bold commitments towards remote work. Although at the same time, you know, according to this Forbes article, it's not that everyone is applying these hybrid models. Twitter, for example, is allowing remote work indefinitely, and so is Square and some others. So it's not that all tech giants or all Silicon Valley companies are taking the same approach here. But what I find interesting, that there seems to be a certain tendency towards this. And what I also find interesting is, if we shift the focus away from Silicon Valley, and if we look at the more traditional industries, for example, if you look at my home turf, Germany, the so-called IFO Institute, which is like a German think tank, a very large German think tank, one of the biggest ones, they released a study recently claiming that 54% of the German companies want to hold on to remote work even after the pandemic. Siemens, for example, which is the eighth largest German employer, they decided that their employees can work from home, or I should probably say remotely, if they deem it necessary, and provided their managers agree. Now, for Siemens, going that way is a big step for a conventional and also conservative German business. And so in some ways, I feel like big tech, Silicon Big Tech, and traditional industries are almost moving towards each other from both ends of the extreme, you could almost say, and they're almost like meeting in the middle. And so what is the right approach? How should you deal with this? Is Siemens right? Is Google right? Should you be looking at big tech? Should you be looking at traditional industries? Is it case dependent? Is it not case dependent? What responsibility does management have in all this? These important questions. So I'm going to start answering this question or these questions by pointing towards something I find quite amusing, which is that there's a new job role that is kind of working its way into the mainstream management attention. And this new job role, the way I approach this, you might have guessed it, this new job role is the head of remote work, or the director of remote work, as some companies refer to. So you've got this this continuation of a very interesting pattern that you might have noticed, which is this general proclivity towards installing a new function or a new department every time you're faced with a new, slightly larger problem, right? So you had, back in the 60s, you had the emergence of quality issues becoming a more relevant, a distinguishing factor in value creation. And as a consequence of that, you had quality assurance departments, and they obviously had to be headed by a head of quality. And then later on, you had the appearance of the finance functions in the business with their head of finance. And of course, even more recently, you've had this whole appearance or emergence of the chief digital officers, who've been extremely popular in the last few years. And now this seems to be a continuation of this pattern, and we could have seen it coming. There is the director remote work. And apparently, according to this article in Fast Company, GitLab was one of the first companies to start this trend in 2019. And this article from November 2020 points towards that. They have a head of remote work, and a lot of other companies have followed their example. Now, I've even seen directors of complexity management, which obviously is taking this whole idea to the extreme. And what I find almost more amusing is that these roles have appeared, and I've also seen them disappear again. So maybe companies have kind of come to the realization that managing complexity really is, you know, the pinnacle of the illusion of control that management typically falls for. So there is a real tradition for conventional management to go by this pattern, which is new, larger problem, new function, new head of this function. And it's fascinating because it obviously is an expression of this very artificial, at least today it's artificial, this artificial division of labor that we inherited from the dawn of the industrial age, which has become extremely outdated. And not for the entirety of the company, but for many areas of the company it has done. It's been useful in the past, but it's become more problematic recently. And it follows this hidden assumption that you can organize a company by its problems and just simply act as if those problems weren't interdependent, as if they weren't intertwined. It's almost as if a football coach said, you know, you are responsible for shooting goals, you are responsible for making those match-winning passes, and you are responsible for defending the attacks. That obviously doesn't work. And of course, you've got, you know, all of these functions are relevant to the game of football, but they are taken on, those roles are taken on dynamically, dependent on the situation a football team is in. Now, you can't always translate these analogies perfectly into businesses, but this highly segregated way of running businesses that leads to problems that would result in a football match as well. And it results to problems because from this functional segregation of the company, you run into loads of conflicts lower down in the hierarchies, because that's where these conflicts meet head on, being represented by the different departments. And because they meet there, and because they can't be decided on there, they get escalated, which means that more decisions have to be made in a centralized fashion. So you've got this overarching tendency to identify those larger problems, and then it seems like a suitable justification, once you run into a problem like that, for a new department to be founded, and then obviously this new department needs a head. So the question is, how does that relate back to our problem of remote work? The truth is that the place where people work is, you know, is one little factor connected to many other factors. And in some businesses, the place you work can be a big problem or cause a big problem if it's not the right place. In others, it causes very little problem. So it can be a large or small factor, but it's interconnected with many other factors that then in itself influence value creation. And all of these factors influence each other, obviously, so that there's a high interdependency between all of these. And changing the workplace might or might not affect loads of other elements of value creation. And so, for example, let's make a few examples. If you work from home, you might be more focused on certain phone calls, for example, because you've got peace around you. You've got a nice little home office where you can sit at your desk without any distractions. And because of that, you can be more productive. And because of that, you can deliver more value to your customer, which results in a higher customer satisfaction. Or it could be the other way around. If your choice of working from home would equate to, you know, working between screaming children who distract you all the time, then the opposite might be true. You might be better off in the office or in a co-working space. Or there might be days when, you know, you could be doing with brainstorming with your colleagues, and it would really help if you had some kind of physical presence, and that would make you more efficient, and then you want to go for that option. Or on a particular day, you might, you know, it might be great to work from a co-working space, because working from a co-working space might allow you to then meet with a client later on who has an office nearby. So you get the idea. There's no simple answer to this question. And it's a very layered problem. You know, it's very case dependent. What is the right solution for every individual case? And because of that, it's one of these decisions where the quality of the outcome of the decision kind of correlates negatively with the distance at which this decision is being made. Or in other words, you could say the further away you are from the decision as a decision maker, the shittier your decision will be. So really, this is a super simple one. There's a lot harder decisions to be made about how to run a company. This one's pretty damn easy. Just let your employees decide for themselves, because they're the closest, right? The closest to the problem. If you pay your employees tens of thousands of pounds or euros or dollars or whatever in salary every year, and you don't trust them to make a decision on where they should work from for themselves, then you might as well take all this responsibility, and I literally mean all this responsibility that comes with working for a company, from those employees. Right? You can't trust an employee to talk to a customer if they can't even make a sound decision about the place they are working from. It makes absolutely no sense. So if you reverse that, if you think your employees can't make a sound decision on where they're working from, then they shouldn't be talking to customers. They're going to ruin your business. Now, I hear doubts that grow from this very popular concern that is being voiced at the moment regarding employees' well-being and the risk of them burning themselves out. And, you know, I think they might overwork themselves at times, and they might not be able to switch off, and they might neglect their families. they might do all of those things, but they are grown-up people. And infantilizing employees by telling them not to work from home for their own safety or for their own protection is basically is the most hypocritical means of protection, because it deprives people from the very potential to grow. It's a bit like, even though I don't really like this analogy too much, but it's a bit like parents, helicopter parents, who don't let their kids play with other kids because they are scared of them catching a cold and then suffering for 2 weeks because they have a bad cough or something. I find it so disturbing that on the surface, everything's about individual growth and self-realization, but we want to control this growth. And if we try to control this growth, then we're basically containing growth, because growth doesn't follow the pattern that we wanted to follow. It's not, you know, if we want growth to be the growth that we have in mind, then no growth is going to happen. So I think that so what's important to me is I'm not building this argument around what is or what isn't humane in a business. That, you know, that's another consideration, but that's not my predominant reason. I'm building this argument around what is smart from a business point of view. And having people take responsibility is a necessity. It's a necessity for adaption. It's a necessity for survival in many markets. You need employees to be able to make decisions on the behalf of the company. And each element of centralization strips away an element of responsibility. And the funny thing is that then results in those who strip that responsibility away from employees to observe a lack of responsibility, obviously, because people have less responsibility. So it kind of feeds the assumption, which means that this whole thing is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you build systems in which people can't take responsibility, they won't. And if they don't take responsibility and you observe that, you are confirmed in your assumptions. It's a confirmation bias. So my take on this is, do it like Spotify, regardless of your industry. Just let the people decide. There was a great article, again recently in Forbes, everything's about Forbes today, I think, and it said Spotify will let employees work from anywhere they do their best thinking and creating from. And the thing is that when people hear this, another argument that they often give is that they can't afford people to do those, to make those decisions, and they can't allow remote work because the whole value creation depends on a physical presence, right? Physical labor, or at least some kind of proximity. And that seems to be the angle that Google is coming from, right? Google says, we want our people back in the office because being close to each other benefits the business. But if your business doesn't allow for people to work remotely, by nature, if value creation suffers from people not being close to each other, they won't, because they're not stupid. They will do what helps the business. In fact, they're much better suited at judging where work should be taking place because they are doing that work every day. So they are close enough to make that call. And the only reason why they might not make decisions in favor of the business and give their own interests a higher priority is because they're already at a point where all the responsibility was taken away from them by all sorts of other bureaucratic measures. And then, you know, the tiny corridor of space or of responsibility that's left isn't enough to feel that you actually have responsibility. That's why the stuff I talk about in this show can't be dealt with in isolation. You know, it's always connected to other elements of organizational design. Now, I see that, of course, people have personal interests and people have, they want to respect these interests. Like a colleague of mine is a paraglider and she uses every possibility at the moment, because she's a digital nomad, to take a paraglider flight. Is that what you call it? Anyway, and she tries to fit the meetings around the ability to go for a flight. However, she will always balance these things out. and she would always try to find a way to integrate the needs that the business has and the needs that she has. And if we were to make a decision that rules out any paragliding for this great colleague we have, we would lose her to the competitor, right? Because she would be demotivated and she wouldn't feel herself anymore. So if everything your company does is an expression of distrust in your employees' own decision-making, then of course you might experience this consequence that the employees are prioritizing their own interests. But as long as you practice this idea of responsibility, of institutionalized responsibility, and you can apply that in many different ways, not just with remote work, then people will respect their own interests and respect the company's interests, and then they will be trying to integrate all these interests to make a good decision for the business. So in general, the very simple answer to this question of remote work, in my eyes, is the place where people work has a subtle but important influence, and those best able to judge that complexity and all these different factors that play into the equation are the employees themselves. So if you let the people decide, they will decide wisely, and they will make mistakes while they do that. They will adapt, they will make mistakes again, they will decide again, and on average, those decentralized decisions that benefit from this case-by-case learning will always be better, will be a million times better than any decision that is being made on their behalf by their manager, their direct manager, or even worse, by some kind of central head of remote work. Now, that's it for this week. Hope it's some food for thought. I'll see you back here next Wednesday, 7:30 GMT or 8:30 Central European time. That's what it's called. I hope you enjoyed this episode, wherever you are, whether you're working from home or from the office or you're sat on the sofa. Thank you very much. Take care, guys. Bye.